From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 6th day of August, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzla, GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. And Eric Snodgrass will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. He's been on the road across the Midwest, has had a look at the corn and the soybean crop, and has an idea about what's coming in the month of August as it relates to the weather. You'll want to stay with us for that. And then if you can stick around for the whole of the hour, you'll hear all of Commodity Week recorded yesterday afternoon, if not a portion of it. And for many of these radio stations, you'll hear it over the weekend. It's always up online at willag.org to listen to on demand in its entirety as well. Commodity Week, our weekly look at what's happened in the world of agriculture. Our panelists this week included Tom Guinan. He's from Farmers Co-op out of Thief River Falls, Minnesota. We were joined by Bill Biederman from Spring City, Tennessee and AgMarket.net, along with Greg Johnson of the Andersons from here in Champaign County, Illinois, and from Stockton, Illinois and AgTraderTalk.com, Garrett Toy. Stay with us for the whole hour if you can. Pick it up online if not, or on your local radio station.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
A September corn in Chicago settled at $5.55 a bushel, down 3/4. December up 3.5 at $5.56.5 of the March. $5.64 3/4, 3 3/4 higher. September beans at $13.44 1/4, up 8.5 cents. November at $13.36 3/4, 8 1/4 higher. And January beans at $13.41 1/4, up 8 1/4 as well. Bean meal futures at $355.80, 30 cents higher for the September. The bean oil September at $61.81, up 34 cents for the day. Soft red winter wheat December contract $7.33 1/4, up 8. The hard red December at 7.17.5, 14.5 higher, and December contract in the spring at 9.06.5, 14.25 higher for the afternoon. Live cattle futures at 127.87.5, finished 37 cents higher. The September, rather 30 cents higher. September at 163.32.5, up $2.17.5, and lean hogs at $87.60, 47.5 cents higher on the day. Gold futures at $1,764.90, down 44 cents, and crude 80 cents lower at $68.29. The wholesale price of gasoline at $2.25.7, 3.7 cents lower per gallon. Mike Zuzla, GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, now joins us to talk about what happened in Chicago for the day and the week. Thank you, Mike, for being with us today. Let's start with crop conditions in your part of the world, please.
Well, it's been a real interesting week because a couple weeks ago I did a crop tour north of me in some of the best ground in the state, both in terms of satellite imagery and what clients around the state were telling me, Todd. And this is mostly non-irrigated ground. And so I went up, looked at it, and it looks just absolutely phenomenal. I think it was definitely a record-setting crop, given the population, the stands, and the ears. 16, 18 around, 35 plus on the length. And I think, that we were on our way. But then this week, I got some samples of those exact same fields from the people that I work with up there. And they had a lot of holes in them, and I would explain it as tip back from the heat and probably Japanese beetles eating into the corn silks before the pollination actually took effect. And so that's what we're thinking anyway. So I'm really stumbling on the corn yield potential now for our area because of the heat and the lack of precip. And I'm hearing that in Nebraska as well. And I think USDA and the drought monitor picked it up with Nebraska jumping 11 points, I think it was, this week in drought for the state. And for Kansas, we jumped 6%. So we've got, I think, a declining crop potential at this point. And I would probably put for our part of the country, from essentially Atchison all the way up to the Canadian border, I would probably put these weekend, early week rains as probably the last good rains that will help the crop if we indeed see 100 degree temperatures again this weekend, like we're hearing that we're going to, or thinking we're going to see.
Right. So when you put that in context to what's been happening in Chicago for December corn, it gets kind of back to that level, where we're at 550 or thereabouts, something like that, and then it just peters out again. It's been trading that range for a while now. Will it change prior to the time we get to the 12th, which is USDA's report next week, do you think?
I don't think it will if we get the rains expected, because we're looking at, you know, Mason City, Iowa getting a little over an inch. We're looking at Des Moines getting a little over an inch. We're looking at Sioux Falls, South Dakota getting a little over an inch. And we're looking at Lincoln, Nebraska getting maybe an inch and a half between now and next Monday, Tuesday. And then follow-up rains are being shown on some of the models after those days and after the weekend. And so I think the trade's going to stay with the mindset that USDA is essentially City Hall. Let's not fight City Hall. If it's raining and the outside markets are suggesting a more risk-off attitude like they have this week again and like they did last week. And as you point out very validly, the trade is just kind of spinning its tires right now, holding everything into a trading range. Probably saved a bit in the beans this week from a standpoint of the Chinese coming in and buying today, unknown destinations buying earlier this week. I think it makes the trade feel as though, with August getting ready to go off the board, we've got the price now down low enough we're attracting demand.
What happens next week if USDA NASS on its AUG 1 count stays with the current trend line yield, not adjusted by World Ag Outlook Board, because it's going to just capture that yield now and rather than move it around, I believe. How disappointed is the trade?
Disappointed in terms of the bears in the market or the bulls?
Disappointed in terms of the bulls in the marketplace and those who have yield down at 176.5.
Yeah, and I'm below that. I'm going to be publishing my numbers to the clients and subscribers this weekend, and I'm coming in right now 174.9 with what I'm looking at, and I don't expect anything like that by USDA in the next couple, 3 months. To answer your question, I think that if we don't get a yield change, I don't think the bull will be hit very badly. Because I think the bears really have taken control of this market since the middle, later part of July, with the idea that because of COVID, because of the high prices, because of the feeding and some of the other issues out there, that we've really lost some demand, that USDA is way too high on demand. So I think it'll be the demand numbers next week that really make or break the situation.
What kind of changes do you expect?
Well, I don't know why they wouldn't, in terms of USDA, come down a little bit on their total demand numbers, especially on the corn exports and maybe even the bean crush a little bit as well. But I don't think that they need to come down a lot. I think that's what the whole point of my mindset next week is I don't get too much of a demand hit on the U.S. side of the equation. And then I see the world numbers for wheat and corn tighten up again. And so if I can get that, then I feel like that I can come out of this report without being too damaged.
When you put your full sheet together, what kind of projections do you have for cash price?
I think that we're looking at getting back up to that $6 level. My average cash price is around $5.80, $5.85. I think we need to retest that $6 level. And I think it goes back to, it may be one of those years where we don't get something like that until September or October. Many times, you know, we've lived through this where we feel like the yield is lower, but enough people on my side of the equation don't feel that way, and the USDA doesn't feel that way, and the funds continue to keep control of the marketplace, and therefore we don't go up as we get the summer finished up. So, I mean, I'm fully prepared to buy puts if I lose trend lines and if I don't get what I want in the next two reports, but I really am hesitant to move any more cash sales on recommendations given the basis levels for new crop and given the futures prices and where we are right now, especially if you're upwards of a third plus sold.
What are your expectations for soybean?
I think soybeans are below 50. I put that out earlier this week. I'm at about a 49.6, I believe it was. And that gets me down to about a 143 carryover. And that's where I'm, you know, like last week you and I talked, I feel like August is the month for the soybeans to have some support, have some rally potential. After this week's demand news, I'm still on track with that. One thing I am watching on the beans, Todd, for the report next week is I still feel like we're a little out of kilter on the acreage. Wouldn't be shocked, even before the FSA numbers come out, that USDA, you know, adds some acres to soybeans on the plantings. Maybe we'll get that in September, but it's something I'm going to be watching for Thursday.
Anything for the livestock side?
Livestock really on point. I still want to hedge these cattle, but the markets are still trying to break through some of the resistance levels. But you don't want to take out any weekly lows at this stage. And I think at the very minimum, I'll have some puts in place on fat cattle and feeder cattle before Thursday's numbers come out, in case the corn does get a surprise and gets a bump in the upside and that spread takes over and hits the cattle market.
What are you watching in the outside markets?
Yeah, the dollar made a new weekly high. It's trying to stretch its legs to a new two-week high. Interesting to note, the jobs data today and some of the other economic data is making the trade think, okay, the Fed can start tapering. That's why they're buying the dollar, I think, and that's why the bond yields are going up again. And that's not a good sign from a standpoint of that kind of feeds the dollar bull. So we really are coming into a time period where we need the supply-demand fundamentals to come on board for us.
And finally, what's your view of two things, ASF in the Dominican Republic and COVID?
Yeah, COVID worries me because of the policy shifting that we're seeing right now as we get ready to go back to school and what it can probably do to the travel and the consumption at the red meat level. And that's why I'm still more of a hedger, even though meat numbers are declining. As we go into this last part of the calendar year, I still want to get hedges in place. You know, feeder cattle, for instance, September feeders at 160, that's near a five-year high. So we just can't really turn away from that, turn our backs from that with COVID spiking again. As far as the ASF, I think it's just a matter of time that we find it someplace closer to home. And that's something that we really have to be concerned about and really watch. But right now, the back end months really don't have much premium. In fact, the August hogs getting ready to go off the board have something like, what, a 12 or 12 plus dollar premium to the October at this stage.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
You too. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's at globalcomresearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Let's check in now with Eric Snodgrass. He's with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible and a agricultural meteorologist. Thank you for taking the time with us today. You're back off the road. You've been out and about, I take it.
Yeah, it's nice to be back in Champaign and got a good view of what the crop looks like across a big section of the Corn Belt. And so I feel a little better about some of the things I've been thinking about with the weather now that I've gotten out and seen this crop.
All right. So one of the things we all need to know about is the Iowa crop. It seems to be the one that tips one way or the other, just because they've not had rain as much as the rest of the eastern part of the Corn Belt, certainly Minnesota as well. And then going west, we know that it's gotten very dry. Do we have rain in the forecast for any parts?
Yeah, we do. And the other part about that is during this drier time period for Iowa, one of the more interesting things about 2021 has been the dew that's been happening there in the early morning. That dew comes through and just, you know, gives a little bit of moisture to the crop. And I think that's why it looked halfway decent when I was driving there. So right now, coming across California, blowing all that smoke around, I'm sure you've seen some of the wildfire images out in the west right now. That smoke is getting swirled up in a counterclockwise direction because that is where a trough is cutting through parts of California, Idaho, and it's going to eject tomorrow into parts of Wyoming and South Dakota. Now, what's all that mean? Well, that short wave is going to initiate storms Saturday, Sunday, going across the upper Mississippi River Valley. And so the eastern part of Iowa, most of Minnesota, Wisconsin, northern half of Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan all have a better than about, you know, 70 to 90% chance at seeing storms that are going to be capable of dropping an inch of rain. And so what will have to happen is after the weekend, when we see who got the rain and who didn't, we'll assess if that really made a substantial improvement in the crop. But when you look at the model runs right now, boy, it looks like it's going to storm there pretty good over the weekend. And that could really change things up as we get into next week.
Indeed it can. Temperatures will do what?
Well, the temperatures are on the rebound. We've had this really cool week. I mean, it's beautiful here on Friday morning still, but we're going to start to see the temperatures climb. It's going to start in the central plains where we could get triple-digit heat on today, tomorrow, Sunday. In fact, all the way through next Tuesday, we'll be heading back into the upper 80s, possibly clip 90 around here. And then, but the interesting thing is the northwest is going to get a little bit of a break, but I have to stress little bit because once we get out there past, gosh, next Tuesday, the Pacific Northwest is going to go back up to, you know, just the record-setting heat they've had all summer. And that's where we stand on this temperature pattern. If they keep getting hot, we're going to resist getting hot here. Now, we'll have summer-type temperatures, but just not the scorching hot weather we can get. The West is taking it all this year.
Anything on the long range forecast that's new?
Yeah, this is the fun part. We just got brand new updates from the European model today that take us out 6 months. And what I've been seeing here is two things. For the rest of August into September, the models are right now too wet. In other words, they're trying to produce a lot of rainfall, but the reality is there's no strong signal for why it should do that. Why? Well, we have a La Nina that's starting to get going. That tends to be giving us a drier late summer and early fall. And on top of that, the MJO and some other factors like the Pacific jet stream are just too weak to really signal that. But we're going into the peak of hurricane season over the next month too. So that's the wild card. And you know as well as I do that one of those can just come right up the Mississippi and bring a lot of rain to the eastern Corn Belt. But as you look out into harvest weather, if we do have a La Nina coming, it does favor a drier look than being a wet harvest. And I think for most of us, that'd be a great thing to get this huge crop, especially here in the state of Illinois, out. So La Nina is going to be something you and I are talking about probably for the next 6 months. So get ready, Todd.
I'm ready. Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. You have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks.
That's Eric Snodgrass. He's with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. That wraps up the Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. For those of you listening on the home station and many of these radio stations, you'll hear either all or part of Commodity Week recorded yesterday afternoon. Several of the radio stations will air it over the weekend, and you can always hear it in its entirety on demand anytime you'd like. Where, of course, at willag.org, willag.org.